I spoke upon this before about being born again of the Spirit of God. And where Brother Dave read this morning in devotional, it says, "For the body without the spirit is dead." Now, it's talking about spiritually dead. If we don't have the Spirit of God, we're spiritually dead, and we were always in that condition at one time in our life. I can remember back in my wild times in my life, I didn't care anything about the Lord, and I'd been to church many times, used to go every Sunday, but I just had a head knowledge of God, didn't have the Holy Spirit. But once God born me again, and man don't born you again, he can't born you again. You see these free will people saying, well, all you have to do is accept Christ and be born again. Well, you can't do that on your own, and no preacher can pray that into you. Now, we can pray for those who have not been yet born again, but I believe God, it's God's choice and God's time when we're born again. It's not our time. It's not our will when it happens. Because I remember that when God changed me and I was born again of the Spirit of God, I didn't have anything to do with it. But after the Lord got done with me, I knew who was working on me. I knew who had talked to me in that little still voice the night that I was, and I wasn't in a church house, and I had been attending church. I had been back to the old Baptist church, and it was out here on Ridge Road, and the old building out there is still standing, and the roof fell in, and I was by there yesterday, and the old building is still there, and every time I go by there is some very fond memories of the meetings that we had there when Brother Contrail and Brother some of the other brethren and sister was there. So, for the body without the spirit is dead. The body is dead to the spiritual things of God. Till we've been born again, we can't enjoy the joy of our salvation. We can't rejoice in the Lord until God borns us again. And every child of God will be born again in this timely world. Before they die, they'll know the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a child of God. I want us to turn to the second chapter of Ephesians this morning, and we'll read a little bit there, and there's some other places that I want to go this morning in my attempt to preach the Word of God this morning, say a few words. And you hath He quickened. You hath He, God. You hath God quickened. Not of yourself, not of some preacher. Now, I've always said that it don't hurt anybody to go to church, even though you maybe hadn't been born again and don't know the Lord as your Savior. But it don't hurt anybody to go learn about the Lord. And so, he says, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." We were habitual sinners before we were born again. After we're born again, I don't think we're habitual sinners. If we are, there's something bad wrong. I don't think you've been born again, because I don't want to sin. Once God has put the Spirit in you, the Spirit of God in you, you have I call it a godly conscience. And we know, Bible says we know right from wrong. And that's why God warns us that we're not to quench the Spirit. Now, we have that power to quench the Spirit, but the Spirit never dies. It's still with us. But we know right from wrong what we need to do to follow the Lord. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. That's what I was just talking about, being not caring about the Lord and not worried about what you do in the world, the things of the world. We're now in the world, but we're not of the world. We're a different person, and I'll get to that a little later on in my sermon. According to the prince, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. The devil had authority over us in a sense that we followed after the wicked things. We followed after the evil things of the world. I don't want to do that anymore. I try to stay away from the wicked things and the things that would cause me to do wrong, because I like to be in the Spirit of the Lord. I want to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. I want to do what God call me to do, what God wants me to do. I don't want to do what the world wants me to do, because the world is wicked. And the devil's going to and fro in this world, and he's causing confusion in a lot of God's people's life if we let him in. That's why we need to, when we worship God, we worship him in spirit and in truth. And a lot of people wouldn't know the truth today if it hit them right smack dab in the face. They reject the truth. A lot of God's people even reject the truth. And they're not enjoying the joy of their salvation. You know, when we're in the Spirit of God and we're enjoying the joy of our salvation, that's why I say, even when the church is on that, we're not in the meeting. We're still a church on the outside. We're still the church. And we are to think about what we do. We are to be aware of the evil things that are trying to come into our lives and trying to cause confusion and destroy our joy in the Lord. Isn't it wonderful when we can set, there's been times, and we're not perfect. I know we're not perfect. But I know in my life, and then probably in your lives, there has been a most perfect peace in our lives, that we've enjoyed the Lord. We've been in our prayer closet. Many times I've been in the prayer closet and praying to God, and that is the joy and the peace that comes, and it's just almost a perfect peace in our lives when we're enjoying the Word of God. We're enjoying the church. We're enjoying coming together and having fellowship with God first. You have to have fellowship with Him, and we have fellowship with one another. Yes, we're small in number, but God has put here what He wants here. If we believe in predestination, God has put here, not saying that we shouldn't encourage people to come to church and people to join the church. But it says that the Lord adds to the church. We shouldn't be trying to twist people's arm and get them to come to join the church. We shouldn't do that. But we should witness to them and tell them what we believe in and teach them the Word of God, the Word of truth. That's what matters. We should be in the Spirit of the Lord and show people that we're in the Spirit of the Lord. And you know, I'm not saying... you know, there's many times when I'm at work, I try to witness to people. And sometimes we have some pretty good little meetings. People come in, and me and here a while back, there was a guy came in. We started talking about the Bible, and he was kindly off on some things, but we were enjoying each other. Well, two ladies came in, and they were listening to us. I noticed them out there walking around looking at clothes and things. And before you know it, they was up with us wanting to put their word in, talk about the Lord. They were wanting to talk about the Lord. You know, that's effective. That's effective. The Lord's word is effective. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God, it's effective to you to hear someone else talking about the Lord. You know, sometimes when I go into the restaurant, well, we always have prayer over our meal most of the time. And I see other people at other tables, you know, having prayer, and that's effective when I see people doing that. That's good. That's good. Wherein in times past we walked as the world did. We walked in the evil of the world, walking in a sin, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? It's Satan. It's the devil. The devil is loose today. Don't never think he's not loose, because he is. He's loose. And he aggravates me every day. There's not a day goes by that I don't get aggravated by the devil. The devil's going to come against you as long as we're in the world. But he says, the Lord says, that we're to put on the whole armor of God. We're to have the armor of God on. And it tells us that the armor that God gives us protects us. No, this is the armor of God, and it's all powerful. And it mentions all the things that we need on. The armor is nothing for the back, because we're supposed to stand and face the devil. We're not supposed to turn our back, because if we try to run from him, he's going to get us. Because there's nothing for the back, and he's going to fling his fiery darts at us, and he'll attack you, and he'll try to destroy your life. He says, to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, everyone that is ever born on this earth, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's some that's not going to come away from the world. Those that God didn't love, they're not going to come away from the world. They're in the world. They're going to stay in the world. They're going to stay doing the evil things of the world. But we've come out. We're a new creature. We've been born again of the Spirit of God. We're a new creature. I heard a preacher one time say he is the same old man. And I thought to myself, well, if you're the same old man that you used to be, then you haven't been changed. God hasn't worked in your heart. God takes the old evil heart out, and he puts a new heart in. It doesn't leave a scar. God does an operation on us. We're different. We're new. But it's different. I'm a different person than I used to be. I want to try to serve the Lord with my whole heart. And David, many times, he says, over in the book of Psalms, that we're to serve God with our whole heart. We're to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Walking in the Spirit of the Lord. You know, God, what does God expect of us? He expects us to be holy. He expects us to be, as Paul said, we press toward the mark of the high calling, what God has called us for and to do in this world. And we're to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And when you're in the Spirit of the Lord, you've got a lot less troubles, and you're happy. You're a lot happier. You want to be happy in this world? Walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm afraid so many times that we quench the Spirit and get out, and we kindly want to dabble in things we shouldn't be dabbling in. And the more you dabble, the more you get into it, and the more you get into it, the wearier you get, and you just, like David did when he fell into the sin that he did. Of course, David was a sinner all the time, probably. I know he was. But he fell into the sin, and he committed murder, and he committed adultery, and he committed all kinds of things. But listen, he still prayed to God to return unto him the joy of his salvation. David quenched the Spirit. God didn't leave David. Because God answered his prayer after David prayed, Lord, return unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's God's salvation, not my salvation. Return unto me the joy of thy salvation, Lord. So the Lord can return unto us the joy that we have in the Lord. Our bodies was once the servant of sin, but now we're not habitual sinners. We are a child of God, and we have a godly conscience. We have the Spirit of God, which teaches us and leads us and guides us in this old weary world. And through the Spirit, we learn about the good things of God. God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the fruits of the Spirit, boy, it says the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, and peace. If you don't have the fruits of the Spirit, if you're not living in the Spirit, you're not going to have the joy. You're not going to have the joys of worshiping God like you should. Reading on a little further in the fourth verse, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us. He's not talking about the Adamic world, but he's talking about those that he has loved eternal. God is not beginning to love us, but God knew us before the foundation of the world. And you know, before the foundation of the world, it says, when God says, let us make man, that's proof to me that there was three, the Trinity was there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God has given us the Holy Spirit that we might learn about the Lord and that we might love him. And without the Holy Spirit, we can't love God. There's a lot of people in this world that have a head knowledge of God. And I'm not saying they're not the children of God, because I had a head knowledge of God, but I was still a child of God before I ever knew it. Before I ever knowed I was a child of God, I was a child of God because he loved me and he sent Jesus Christ to pay for my sins and your sins, for all of his people's sins. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened us together with Christ. What a joy it is to know that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and he knows me. He knows you. He knows our names. By grace are you saved. By grace are you saved? What a favor God has given us. Grace is a wonderful thing. You know, if you come to think about it, it says the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. So God's grace even falls upon the wicked, but they don't know where it comes from. We know where grace comes from. We know about the love of God and his grace. We know, As a children of God, by the Holy Spirit, we know that this comes from God. The people out in the world, they don't know where the rain, they don't have no idea where the rain, Mother Nature. Me and Brother Leroy was talking about that this morning. Rain comes from Mother Nature. The storms come from Mother Nature. No such thing as Mother Nature. It comes from God. God has all authority over all of these things. This storm, it's about to hit down in Louisiana. God has the authority over that storm. He has all power. He has all power. He has the authority over you. We are the children of God. I want to turn over just a minute to some more scripture here. We know about the Apostle Paul, don't we? Now, here was a man that was doing all kinds of wicked things against the church. He's trying to destroy God's people, and we don't know who the children of God are. Now, he says that we can tell by the fruits that they bear. If a person goes through his whole life and we don't see any good fruits, then we have to wonder. I'd hate to be in their shoes if they don't worship God in spirit and in truth. I'd have to wonder if they're a child of God. I'd hate to be in their shoes. But here's the Apostle Paul, and if we'd have knew him back in that time, we'd say, well, this man's not a child of God. So we're not to judge who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. But the Bible does tell us that the wicked's going to hell. The devil's going to be in hell. The false prophets is going to be in hell. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired him a letter to go to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, any Christians of this way, that's what he's talking about as Christians here, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. They're going to be thrown in prison. But the Lord had other things for Paul to do in life. He was going to change old Paul like he changed you and like he changed me. We have our little road to Damascus in this life, just like the Apostle Paul did. And when God changes you, you know you've been, you know who's worked with you. You know what's happened to you. Some of our folks said, well, I don't know if I'm a child of God or not. I believe I know I'm a child of God. And if they don't know that they're a child of God or not, then I don't believe that they've probably been born again of the Spirit of God. Because you, when the Spirit of God, when God sends His Spirit, brother, you know what it is. And you know who it is. And Paul knew when he was changed on the road to Damascus. We read on. He says, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, God don't work every time with every person. He works in different ways with them. Sometimes people says God won't knock you down. Well, he knocked Paul down. He knocked me down. God with his mighty hand can deal with us. And he fell to the earth. And he fell to the earth. And heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? he asked the question, who art thou? Like, it was such a amazing thing that was happening to Paul. He knew who the Lord was dealing with him, because he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, what will thou? I remember saying that to the Lord. Lord, what will thou have me to do? I'll do anything that you want me to do. Well, now at that time, I was very serious. And I still am today, but I haven't done everything maybe the Lord has asked me to do. None of us have. I didn't know the Lord was going to call me to preach the gospel. But I'm glad he did. I'm glad the Lord does everything that he wants to me, because I know when God is working in my heart, I know when the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and teaching me in the ways that I should be walking in this old weary world. And I want to try to serve my Lord and my God. I want to strive with all of my heart. I want to be able to hear and enjoy the Word of God. I want to be able to, my tongue to be able to speak about the Lord and be very serious about it, because it's a wonderful thing to be in the Spirit of God and be able to enjoy the joy of your salvation and know that God is with you. There's times in our lives when we're so close to God and we can feel the very essence of God in our lives. And there's times that God allows this to happen in our lives. And isn't it good when this happens to us? When we get in our prayer closet, we can feel our prayers being lifted up to God, and He's hearing our prayers. And I want my prayers, He says that in the end that He'll pour the saints' prayers out of the golden censers. And I hope my golden censer is full of prayers to my Lord and my God. Yes, God hears every prayer of every child of God. He may say yes, He may say no, and He may say, wait a little while. We have to wait upon the Lord. But we know what God wants us to do. We know that God's answer will come sooner or later. I've prayed for things for years and had to wait upon the Lord, but He answered them. He said, He might have said no, and He has said no. You just leave it alone, because if God had answered that, if He knows what's best for us, I'll put it that way. He knows what is good for our beings. This old fleshly body wants to go one way, but the Spirit of God takes us another way. And it's the right way. God's way is the right way. And we want to walk in the ways of the Lord. So the Apostle Paul says, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What thou must do. So I've heard preachers say if Paul only knew what the Lord had him, was wanting him to do, he'd probably reject it. Well, he couldn't reject that. You can't reject what the Lord calls you to do. I've said many a time, well, I'm just gonna quit preaching and not preach anymore. But after the Lord and the Spirit of God, you get to thinking with your godly conscience, that's not what the Lord wants me to do. I've been going through some hard trials here lately in the last year or so. Some very hard trials with my health, some, and other things too. But, the Lord, with the encouragement of our brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm back. I'm back with Brother Leroy and Brother Dave and other folks and people who, Brother Leroy says, people have been asking on our website where I thought I was dead. I said, well, there's been a couple of times I thought I was going to die, but I'm still here by the grace of God. So God, He would deliver us from ourselves. He'll deliver us from all evil. We had to be dependent upon God. And He is all powerful to deliver us. He is the great deliverer. Deliver us from all evil. So the Holy Spirit is our when we're in the Spirit of God, we're moving in the ways of the Lord. We can face our trials and troubles in life with the power and the might of God. We go through all kinds of trials and tribulations in our life. And them's not probably going to stop. But we go through and we come out on the other side we have learned lessons. We have learned things that God is teaching us. God allows things to come up on us, our trials and tribulations. And I believe it's a learning process that we have to go through in this life, because we sometimes get out of hand. This, my mama used to say, son, you're getting out of hand. And, and sometimes she would take the broom to me, and she had a broom sitting in every corner. And I wasn't fast enough to get away from all the brooms, because she would be right there to get me with a broom. And that's the way the Lord is. He chastises us when we don't listen, and brings us down on our knees, and we ask God, we're to repent. We're to repent of those things. We are a child of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the knowledge to repent, God. He says to repent daily. And we should repent to God, because God, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to get away from those things in life. I want to live a godly life. I want to live for you, Lord. So if we think about the many things that we go through in life and how God works in our lives and the many things that we have to suffer, I want to turn now to the fifth chapter of Galatians, the 16th verse. In closing this morning, Paul writing about walking in the Spirit. He says, if we're in the Spirit, we're walking in the Spirit. And when we're in the Spirit, God is first in our life. Brother Leroy taught me that. And I've always remembered that. That nothing else, when we're in the Spirit of God, that nothing else should interfere with that, us serving God. He says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. We got a warfare going on. But I'll tell you, the Spirit of God is a lot more stronger than the evil of this world. It's a lot more powerful than the evil that would come against us. You know, my prayer is each morning when I get up, Lord, keep me. Keep me in thy hands and keep me from the evil that would come against me in this world. Because it's going to come. It's going to be there no matter what. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. They don't agree. They won't never connect. They won't agree with each other. The Spirit will not accept anything false or wicked, because it is the Spirit of God. And we have the Spirit of God within us. So it will not accept any evil. That's why God says again, quench not the Spirit. In verse 18 it says, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these, and it mentions all of these things. You may say, well, I'm not guilty of any of these things, but I'll guarantee you you're guilty of some of them. We're guilty of some of them. He says, in idolatry and witchcraft and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, envying, murder, drunkenness, railings, and such like of other of these which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a sphere where God rules and reigns in this old weary world. The Spirit of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. That's what the Bible says. He says, he goes on to say, but the fruits of the Spirit is, here's what I was telling you a while ago, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such things there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us act like Christians. Let us act like the children of God. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Isn't that good? That's the Lord's table He has set before us. And we can eat of these things from the Lord's table. And it's good for us. It's better for us than natural food. It is good. Everything that the Lord says is good. And these are the Lord's words. So in closing this morning, I hope and pray that I've said something that might be a benefit to God's people. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer. Someone have a song?